Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S.? With more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S., they have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code POOL at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code POOL at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code POOL. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Welcome to our special weekend show, Sunday Uncensored. Every week, we produce 4 uncensored episodes of the TimCast IRL podcast exclusively at TimCast.com, and we're going to bring you the most important for our weekend show. If you want to check out more segments just like this, become a member at TimCast.com. Now, enjoy the show.
Hey, guys. Loudoun County High School students walk out of class over transgender bathrooms as furious kids demand male and female-only spaces due to massive safety risk. A group of 50 to 100 students at Woodgrove High School in Purcellville, Virginia, walked out of class on Wednesday in protest at trans bathroom policies. This Loudoun County School District in 2021 voted for non-binary, gender-fluid, and trans students to use the school bathrooms and locker rooms of their choice. The students on Wednesday demanded the overturn of the policy. They were met by a small group of counter-protesters insisting that the existing policy should stay in place.
And you know the counter-protesters were?
Who were the counter-protesters?
Staff.
They were the teachers.
Yep.
They were the teachers who are so perverted that they want to make sure that all the girls are forced to wash their hands after they have their periods in front of boys in the bathroom.
I don't gush when I meet celebrities or anything like that. It doesn't really mean anything to me. I have this really cool Billy Corgan story. Apparently, he tells the similar story too, because I'm a big fan. Billy, everybody knows he's been like on InfoWars way back in the day. I don't want to speak too much to his work or whatever, because he's a music guy, not a politics guy.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
But this past weekend, I got to meet one of the moms of one of the students who helped lead this protest. And I was so excited because that is so amazing to me that there are people who are standing up for what they believe in, whose teenage kids are doing it, who are speaking out in fear that they could lose their jobs and all of this stuff. The courage I was honored to have met a person who, despite their fears of losing their job and all of this, were willing to speak out, proud of their family, of their kids, for what they were doing. So that was really awesome. And let this be the kickoff to one of the big reasons why I think schools are awful. And we should totally get rid of all of them. And it really is simple. It is industrialized, institutionalized learning facilities that treats people like products and cogs in a machine. School is prison. I think it was Michael Malice who said that. Schools are effectively prisons, especially modern high schools in cities where you go in, the doors are all locked, and you have to go through a metal detector. And if you leave, the cops arrest you.
That's that song Party Hard by Andrew W.K.
If you are
me like a school cell, a penitentiary, a jail cell.
I'm 15 years old. My friends and I, mostly not me, but one of our friends was a rollerblader, went door to door to raise money to get a skate park built at our local park. All the kids would hang out there and skate every day, and it would damage the planters. They're made of plastic, the recycled garbage bags into the, you know, park planters, but they're so perfect for skateboarding. So we would all skate there every day, and it was awesome. We would do our tricks, and they didn't like it. So this kid raised the money to build a skate park. Well, I wasn't in high school. I had dropped out. I was doing homeschooling, a correspondence thing for the most part, never finished. And when me and my brother went to the park to skate at the park that we helped, and I'm not saying we did the most, someone else did all the heavy lifting, but we were a component of it. They kicked us out.
Who is they?
The park administrator said, you can't skate here. And I said, why? And they goes, because you're supposed to be in school. And I'm like, we're not truants. We have a correspondence program we're doing. So we're just outside. And they're like, yeah, well, you being here is going to convince other kids to drop out as well. So you can't skate here.
Oh, that's bullshit.
Fuck the machine. It is broken. I would get stopped by cops when I'm 16. And they'd be like, why aren't you in school? And I'm like, I'm homeschooled. And they would go, ugh, and they would drive off. And other kids who weren't in school, the parents would get arrested. No kidding.
Yeah, that's right. I remember when I was in college and I was at Sarah Lawrence College, which is in Bronxville, New York. And I was walking to school because I lived off campus. And I was at what, like 19 or 20 or whatever. And I was walking to school and this big white van pulled over and opened the door. And like the door slid open and this guy goes, get in the van. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? And they're like, you're supposed to be at school. And I was like, I'm in college. I don't have to get in the van. And I looked in the van and there were all these kids in there just looking all depressed. Wow. They were getting, you know, carted off to school in the middle of the day. It was like lunchtime, you know, and I was rushing to my class.
I will agree, fuck the machine, but I don't think that means that all machines are broken.
No, I didn't say that.
And that the education broken. Machine, that we can't have a functioning educational machine, because I think we can.
Dude, kids are traumatized by their teachers every single day. And look, man, I had bad I had like one good, there's one teacher that I can name that I thought was really, really great, and she's an awesome person. And after Occupy Wall Street, she messaged me saying, I'm proud of you. And I'm like, that meant a lot to me because she was a good teacher. And then all the rest of them were either varying degrees of indifferent or antagonistic and they were traumatizing kids.
I had several different educational experiences. I went to public school most of the time. And then after eighth grade, I went to Catholic school for 2 years. And then after that, I went to a private Quaker school in Philadelphia for 2 years. And the public school was a total disaster. Like it was like a squash machine. You know, you'd go into school and they'd beat you down and squash you down until you felt terrible about yourself. And I was bullied. It was just an absolute nightmare.
Oh, the teachers at my school were the bullies.
Yeah,
insulting the teachers kids, were making horrible, fun of them.
And the other kids were always trying to beat me up and stuff. Like it was terrible. There were these kids, and they'd be like, "Libby, we're gonna meet you at 3. We're gonna beat you up." And I'd be like, "Okay, but I'm going to take the bus home because my parents are way scarier than you. And if I don't get home, like they're actually going to beat me up. Like, you know, I'm not going to stick around." And they kept being mad that I wasn't there, you know, after school for them to beat me up. But whatever. But the best school I went to out of, you know, and I went to college and I went to grad school. The best school I went to was the 2 years at private Quaker school in Philadelphia. And it was hard. I was on academic probation the entire time. But every teacher that I had, and this was not true when my brother went there later, every teacher that I had took us all very seriously. They engaged in questions. It was very Socratic. You know, when I expressed an interest in Kafka, one of my teachers was like, "Do you want to do an independent study in that? We're not going to be covering it." Yes, I would like to do that. We spoke separately about it. I studied philosophy. I studied politics. I studied drama. I studied all of this really interesting stuff. The best teacher I ever had was the music teacher at that school, a man named Larry Honig, who I was in choir there, and took us so seriously that we felt like we were part of a professional organization. And it was like very important. Other than the teachers at that school that I had, and not all of them, but other than a couple of teachers at that school that I had, I think the rest of the educational system was not at all helpful. It was those 2 years that gave me pretty much everything I needed in terms of a work ethic, taking myself seriously, learning how to find and discover my own passions.
You know, one of the things I learned in school is it doesn't, all through public school, it doesn't matter what you know, it matters who you know and fitting in and being popular. That was all that fucking mattered. Because as soon as I became popular, I realized no one gives a shit if I know this stuff. I can pretty much jive with teachers.
I was never once popular. I was always the total outcast. But
when I was like 14, I was like, I don't care about my grades anymore. I want to be popular. That was all I cared about.
But that's fine. That's fine. Being respected and liked amongst your peers and wanting social acceptance is a fine thing.
It's a huge part of success in real life, too.
What are you doing to achieve it? And schools don't foster anything to achieve it. Sometimes it's sports. That's good. The problem with the,
theater.
Here's the first problem with mechanized learning facilities. What happens when one kid knows all of his multiplications perfectly? Sit down and shut up.
Yeah, then the other kids
are learning.
The other kids get annoyed with the kid because he's too smart. They're like, know it all over here. Won't stop raising his hand.
It's not even that.
That's I experienced it firsthand.
You don't have to raise your hand when you know it.
Fuck, because you're just sitting there and you're like, I know the thing.
And then you get in trouble for it. Right. I got in trouble so many times for being able to do math in my head. And I have no answer for this.
Yeah, show your work. That was
I actually told the teacher, she was like, I told the teacher I was smarter than her. Because I told the story before about negatives and I got in trouble.
I can visualize that.
I got a Friday detention.
Just like without any emotion.
They call detention second chance. That's what it was called.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, that's insidious.
That's insulting.
What was your school life like?
I grew up in Canada. And so Canada is different because there's way less people and there is more resources put into the system. I think in part because there's way less people that they have to take care of. And in Canada, there are higher taxes. And also in Canada, you don't have the stratified system. Private schools, when I was growing up, were very, very rare. It was basically like there was a private Jewish school, there was a private Christian school, but everyone else went to public school. For me, it was great. I had one bad teacher that actually me and my friends rebelled against, and he was removed because he was so terrible. But otherwise, I had great teachers, and I've always gone to public school. And I think, you know, yes, I couldn't define photosynthesis tonight. Although after I thought about it, I think I got it. But anyway, it's too late now. Regardless, I had a good experience, and I want everyone to have at least a good experience. And I do agree that things have changed now. We need to teach people more practical skills. That's not happening. And I also know that the studies show that homeschooling does lead to better results. That's documented. But the problem is that's not scalable. Like not everyone can be homeschooled. And actually for many kids, the problem is like, what if their home situation, not just in their own home, but around them is really, really bad. And school is actually a refuge for them from a really tough environment.
That's a big problem if we're saying school is going to serve as like juvenile therapeutic.
It does though sometimes.
And that's should not.
But it could. No. But why not? Because otherwise you're leaving these kids totally alone.
The inverse argument is kids who live in a good house are abused by the teachers. So just because you're arguing a teacher could be good doesn't mean they're good. And even
do you think for the most part teachers are abusive? I mean, I know there are some. I had one abusive. Okay,
all of them.
Well,
listen.
This again comes down to our perspective. Like you have these generalizations about how people are, and I obviously they're from experience. Mine has been totally different. So how do we reconcile these two totally different worldviews and on the
issue,
nature of people?
The issue is, I think you come from like a leftist view. And you're giving it's in my opinion of your view is naivety.
It's more okay. That
listen.
People they don't like their authority what does abusive challenged. Mean? And
a teacher who is cold and indifferent towards a student is abusive. A kid who is going into a school where they're neglected, ignored, talked down to, treated inferior, that is not a good situation. That is the overwhelming majority of American schools. That's why it is generationally a trope. School sucks is a phrase that is known to people.
Yeah.
There are good teachers, but if you ask a teacher or a teacher's union, they're going to claim they're good. If you ask the students, they're all going to say the same thing. Miss so-and-so sucks. Why do the kids hate the teacher? That's so weird. Why is it that when I was a little kid, I hated my teachers, except for one, but my guitar teacher was awesome. Private guitar teacher. My mom paid him money. The guy wanted to make sure that I was having a good time and I was learning guitar. And so when he said I should learn Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, I said, I want to learn The Kids Aren't All Right by The Offspring. And he laughed and he said, good luck, kid. Let's get it. And then he said, he played it for me. He looked at the tab book. He said, give it a shot. All right. Next week, when you come back, you're going to play me this riff. And I was like, this is cool. This guy was fun. We were rocking. We were having a blast. And then ultimately I was like, I don't know why I don't want to do lessons. I just started playing and I learned what I wanted to learn. But that was a good dude. Why is it that so many kids hate their teachers? Why is it a trope that a kid will say, my teacher sucks? Why is it that so many parents are like, your teacher doesn't suck, you're just a little... Why are they not believing the kids when the kids are saying the schools are bad and they're causing them problems? When we're looking at a continuing problem of younger generations with scores dropping in schools,
yep.
The U.S. slipping, mm-hmm. It's clearly broken.
Yeah, it's this low-hanging fruit shit where the teacher has to cater to the weakest student and then the smart ones are waiting for it to finish. What were you going to say?
Well, it's also a reflection of the culture it's in. And right now we have a culture where kids' brains are being warped by phones and their attention spans are just negligible. I'm lucky my brain developed before really cell phones and the internet were a thing. So I'm lucky that way. And that's an issue. But the answer to me is not punishing teachers for that and punishing the school system for that. For me, it's doubling down on actually making the system reflect this changing time and putting more resources into it. And to what extent, I mean, look, either you're a good teacher or you're a bad teacher. That's just pretty clear. But to what extent are some of these struggles in schools a reflection of there being way too big classrooms, kids that need more support, special needs kids don't have it, and there's not enough resources? And if there were resources, I think you would see a major difference there.
So what happens if
here's a question for
someone
you.
So real quick, oh, somebody opens a a biltong shop and they make the worst fucking biltong. In fact, everyone in the neighborhood says John's biltong sucks. What happens to that biltong shop?
It closes down.
What happens to the school in the exact same situation? Aaron Matzek comes up and says, let's give him more money.
Well, yes, and let's address what the problem is and try to fix it. I mean, that's what you would do if you're doing genuine oversight.
So why won't we do that for the small business then? Why is it that the business just fails?
Because it's a private enterprise and we do have a public system where certain rights or certain services are deemed to be so important to the public good that it's established that we provide them, like education.
And I agree, but clearly if the government says we want to distribute, frozen on a biltong is we're eating it. It's South African style drinking.
It's fantastic.
It's really good.
Really good.
And so if the state says we want someone to pave the roads, uh-huh, and then a month later, there's buckets of molasses poured in the streets, and we're like, hold on there a minute. This is not what we paid you to do. All of a sudden, you're coming up and be like, I propose we give them more money to address the problem and figure out if we can do it.
Well, we need to make classrooms smaller. But the problem about learning is it's opt-in. If a kid doesn't want to learn it, then you can't make them learn it. They'll just sit there and wait for you to stop talking and then go do stuff. So, like,
I disagree. Should the kids can be made to want to learn.
Maybe.
You can build cultures around creating. Ian, you're going to hear my idea and you're going to be like, Tim's right. You ready for this one?
Oh, yeah.
Treat schools like RPG video games.
I would love to.
Now, here's how it works. When you start school, there's no grade levels. There are class levels. And the students have math level one. They have reading level two. They have English.
This is
level
like a
three.
Montessori program.
And yeah, so, exactly. So there you go. And so what you do is, when you decide to take the test, you make it fun. And then you can have the teacher in like a kung fu outfit being like, you think you can best me to advance to level five math? Take the test. The kid can choose to take the test whenever they want. And if they pass, they advance to the next level. Then students aren't saying, what grade are you in? I'm in fifth grade. I'm in sixth grade. It's one kid's. So here's a problem. I knew a kid super fucking good at basketball, super dumb as a box of rocks. So they held him back 2 years. And I'm like, the kid's clearly gifted when it comes to physical capabilities in sports. Why are you treating him like a moron instead of? So what would happen in this school? He would be gym level 12, the star of the basketball team, and he'd be math and reading level three or whatever. And he'd be like, yeah, I try really hard with the math stuff. I'm working on it. But everyone would be like, yeah, but you're like the best basketball player and everyone knows it. And so you let the kids advance. And what this does is not only does it give them a gamified system of wanting to learn, hey, man, this next level, you're going to get a free pizza at Pizza Hut, whatever it is we do. You're going to get, you know, to the gold tier, and then you're going to be
get tokens.
The reason
you can use to check out books.
And this is why video games work, because it triggers dopamine. It does. You give someone a goal, you give them a visible mathematical choice-based opportunity, and they take it. So what do? They sit in their fucking computers for 16 hours playing video games. Mm-hmm. Do the same thing for school. Let kids decide when they want to try to advance, and a kid might fail and they can be like, you can literally take the test again right now if you want, and then advance.
Okay, so you don't want to abolish the school system. You want to change it to meet kids' needs and to be more realistic for that.
Which DOE.
I'm fine. Okay, sure. I'm fine with that.
But first thing we got to do is we got to get rid of the there is a massive cancerous tumor that is the Department of Education.
Well, I was
it is a money vacuum that homogenizes things in bad ways. You got to cut the cancer off and start a new one.
So I was just thinking,
would you agree with
the
premise of having some department at all, like of education to?
We don't need a federal Department of Education at all.
So it should be what at the state level, like
coin toss. It could go either way. If the proposal is we will abolish the DOE right now and suspend all funding, wait 1 year, and then someone else can propose a program which we vote on and pass legislation, I'm totally fine with it.
Okay. So you were talking about how someone was saying that we spend more on education than on
military
on the military. So in 2022, it looks like we spent $877 billion on the military. And I was just doing a little, it was hard to get an accurate number of how much we actually spend on education, but we spend something like...
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms
and conditions. 18 plus. Across the country, depending on where you are, there's different amounts. But it looks like we spend something like $823,000 per student.
$800,000 per year per student? No.
Because if we have... Because it depends on where you are. So New York, you spend $30,000.
Do you mean in their lifetime?
Per student. K through 12, 24,000 per year per student.
That makes sense, yes.
Okay. So, yeah. So, 823,000 per student. There's 55 million K through 12 students in the US, which gets me, and maybe my math is off. I mean, I didn't do great in stupid math, but whatever, which gets me to about $46 trillion per year.
No, per 12 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, that would be $2 trillion per year.
Yeah.
No, 12? 12 years?
Well, per student per year. So like New York spends $30,000 per student per year.
I would love it if overnight every single teacher in the country was fired from their job.
Oh, that'd be horrible.
Why?
Why? Mass unemployment. That'd be terrible.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, let me rephrase it. I would be fine if overnight every single teacher got a
different
comparable job somewhere else and left.
Oh, okay.
But what about all, but don't you recognize that so many teachers are wonderful and do a great job? I mean,
that
I know
some assumption.
I know a lot of them. Like, are you saying that you don't know one teacher who does a good job?
I had one good teacher.
You know one.
And
but now, how about in your life now? I mean, plenty of people out there work in the education system. Like, is there no one in your current circle or someone you've come across?
It's not that. It's like if there's a factory that smashes hamsters and you're like, why are they doing this? And they're like, we don't know, we're just funded by the government to do
but
it.
This
and they
guy's
pull a hamster
really good
and whack
smashing
it.
What
if every
okay
year...
how about this, how about not smashing, my view of this is the government keeps funding a program where a guy tosses a hamster in the air and whacks it with a tennis racket, and then when you ask him why are you doing this, he's like, government pays me to do it. And you're like, maybe you should stop. What's the purpose of this? Tenderize a hamster. Why? No idea. I'm like, okay, this guy should not have a job.
Well, that way the hamster is better at running around.
Kids are failing at math. Kids are failing at reading. Kids think school sucks. They're not learning. They're not passionate. They hate work. They hate school. Not every single student, but too many of them have it either indifferent or negative view. And the average teacher has an indifferent to cold predisposition. This is a massive failure and waste of money.
What if you got
pod learning?
If you got a 3.0 for the year, you get to cast your vote in which teacher gets fired that year. And every year, sick. all the 3.0 or higher students get to send one off the island. All the teachers.
I also wonder. You know, it really bothers
That's
me
true
too.
Meritocracy.
We have so many school shootings that have emerged over the past couple of decades, and no one ever brings up the school as a component. It's always either it's mental health or it's guns. And I'm like, did you ever wonder why it is some people go to schools even though they're out of school and just unload on teachers? Maybe something is wrong with these institutionalized learning facilities.
Yeah. Did you, Aaron, did you have a group of friends in school? Like a tight group of friends?
I did.
Me too. And that's when it got cool. I hated it before that.
I hear you.
So a lot of the ostracization. Sorry, were you going to say something?
Well, no. Yeah, I agree. And there are school shooters who have been bullied. But
that was Columbine. I mean, it was a huge component of it.
Sure. Yeah. But
these are prisons. Michael Malice said one of the first places a person will experience violence is in a public school. And he is correct.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. I remember when I was in kindergarten, Henry exposed himself to me under the play structure.
Wow. Wow.
No parents around. No adults around.
Look at this kid who just got killed.
No.
He got beaten to death in a fight.
I was thinking about this at this high school. This is the story we kicked off the segment with. But is this high school? So like 14-year-old girls and 17-year-old boys?
Yep.
Because that's like a giant man
gone
through puberty with like a little girl who maybe hasn't yet.
Well,
and what happened in Loudoun County
14,
is the girl got raped.
Yeah, she got raped in the bathroom. But by the time you're 14, you and like if you have your period and stuff like that's. you know, I know it's sort of boring to say or whatever, but like that sucks and it's super traumatizing and it's gross and everything about it is really unpleasant. And you end up, you if you're in the washroom at school and you have your period, a lot of times you're going to end up with blood on your hands.
It's time
and
that
then
we...
you have to like wash your hands in front of boys. That's
all right. So the first thing
gross.
We do is
that's even worse.
We separate boys and girls' skulls completely. Then we make it so that women aren't allowed to work. Then we repeal the 19th Amendment. And finally, we institute the Mosaic Morality Police to go in and make sure all of it's being upheld.
Oh, you've thought this yeah. through.
You know what suddenly, I think about? It's just the Iranian Revolution right here in the exactly. United States.
Well, I think about work. I think like we're all working right now. Our bodies are constantly working. So I how do awesome. You how do you maneuver that work to get ahead in life? That's really the way people should look at it. You're always
there,
working.
A lot of people aren't always working. They're just sitting on their butts.
It's just like pumping energy. Your body is just constantly working to keep you up.
Yeah, your cells are burning ATP, keep you alive.
That's the people that are like, I hate that word, work, work. It's like, dude, no, man, fucking, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a scientific term. Yeah.
This is what I want you to look at.
The thing that I don't understand.
Do you know what this is?
Oh.
This is a Far Side comic, Gary Larson. This is from a long time ago. I love this.
Yeah.
It's a kid playing a video game and his parents are looking lovingly while imagining help wanted, Nintendo expert needed, $50,000 salary plus bonus, looking for good Mario Brothers player, $100,000 plus your own car. The funny thing is, because this is in the 90s.
That yeah. did happen. This is
it did happen. Gary Larson was wrong. Anything, you can turn your passion into work. You just need a market for it.
Yeah.
And so the problem is, these young people are like, I don't want to work. It's like, dude, can you sing?
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of people can sing, not that well. I'll tell you what you do. Go outside of a baseball game, wait till the game is letting out, and start singing songs you like, and you're going to make $200 in an hour.
Right.
That's work.
The thing, okay, too, about
what
work
if you don't
is...
have that creative ingenuity? I mean, not everyone has that.
But and, there's also,
that's my
there's
point.
Also
school
a value.
Is the reason why.
But there's so, also so a value just to work itself.
Why is
there's
it
also
that
a value
college,
to taking care of yourself.
Why is it that college dropout billionaires have three times the net worth of college graduate billionaires?
That's a great, well, because they're obviously such skilled, independent thinkers. But the question is, did school dumb everybody else down, or
yes.
do those dropouts just have that natural, creative, independent
how
spirit?
How did humanity make it this far without institutionalized learning facilities? And how is it now that we have generations of people who don't want to work when previously everybody worked and were fine with it?
But how many, did everyone who's contributed to humanity, do you think they came up with it independently on their own? Or did their, possibly their education
their families,
experience.
But their churches.
But people who learn physics and engineering, they learn that in schools and that contributes to humanity.
That's not true at all.
Really?
Universities are relatively, the ubiquity of universities are new. A lot of the great very inventors new. That we talk about never went to school for this stuff.
And good for them, but some people...
That's all of them.
Okay. Some of the best inventors, you're right, came to it on their own. But some
engineers.
People, some people, engineers, physicists, they go through, doctors, they go through school like, programs, like, and they learn.
Let me just say the absurdity of me at 25 years old giving guest lectures to PhD courses at various universities.
You're an exception. You're an exception.
It's, yeah, but...
You can't...
But, I'm an exception in that I instead of going to college and asking a guy who doesn't do journalism how to do journalism,
uh-huh.
I bought a phone,
yes.
sat down with some guys and said, what's the app we need? The remarkable thing about solving...
Could everyone do that?
Yes.
Is that scalable?
Yes.
So everyone could achieve the success you've had on... No, it's not scalable.
Wrong.
It's wonderful what you achieved. It's really impressive, but it's not scalable.
It is.
It just isn't. Okay.
I think society needs leaders
so,
and then it
so
needs followers.
What do you think is difficult about pointing a phone at things and talking?
What is the difference between well, because the phone records it.
But about like what's the barrier for entry? Why can't people do that?
Well, the will, like you have the initiative and
the willpower.
Yeah, okay, yes. Yes.
So
yes.
So
if everyone pointed, but we see it now.
School's
now,
harder than that.
But now everybody now points their phones at themselves and talks, and is everyone going to become a huge success from that? No. Because there's only so much space for
uh-huh.
people to develop a big audience.
Right.
So what I'm saying is like...
So people need to figure out what will work for them to...
They could, but not everyone will be able to figure
so
that out.
So you're saying that everybody who goes to college for journalism is going to get a job in journalism?
No, they're not.
And they're going to be how much in debt?
No, they're not. Listen, I don't recommend going to a college for journalism. I think it's a terrible thing to do.
So the issue...
But that's that one field. But
if the taxpayer's covering the bills of them going to high school, it's fine then.
Yes, because they're... Because they're not adults yet, and they
they are. High school seniors are 18.
All right. Well, they need the chance while their brains are still developing, I think, to be able to have a baseline education, to learn some basics, to socialize.
Maybe at 4 years old, not at 18. The most formative years of a human's life are 0 through 5, and we don't have them in school for that period. Then the next most formative are 5 to 13. And what do we have them doing? Mostly nothing bullshit. Then high school years, where kids should be picking up a trade and learning things, because at 18, you're a man and you can go to war and die and smoke cigarettes. We have them still in high school doing fucking nothing.
When New York implemented universal pre-K, do you think that was a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't know enough about it.
Okay, well, I mean,
the general idea is, like, I think institutionalized learning facilities are broken. And it's possible to have them, I suppose, but typically they're always going to skew towards failure that is propped up by government money. And what ends up happening is, instead of saying, this failed, let's stop funding it, the government says to the taxpayer, we're taking it from you by force, and there's nothing you can do about it. If a system is broken and it can't fail, and the taxpayer is forced to pay for it against their will, like, that's fucked. We've got kids suffering, and the government, it's, and then you get teachers unions who will never let the system die.
I didn't sign off on funding Israel and the proxy war in Ukraine.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay. So if we're able to apply standards equally.
But I agree with you on that. I know.
You are consistent on that. You are.
But we should have some access to discretionary taxes. I agree. Maybe 60% of your taxes should be discretionary, or 30% of them or something like that.
I would be willing to bet large sums of money that if I adopted any random kid, that kid would grow up to be successful.
Okay, fair enough. And maybe you're right. But the problem is it's not scalable. It's just not.
It's tough because you need two-way interaction.
It literally is scalable. The problem is not that humans are incapable. The problem is that our culture and society has created fucked up, broken machines that destroy people.
We need good teachers, to be honest.
If you think it's not scalable, then we should abolish school right now. Because the idea that we're going to put everyone in a school and it's going to work is impossible by your standard. If schools cannot teach people to work and survive, we should get rid of them.
I agree with you that something needs to change, and there needs to be more practical life skills taught. I could have benefited from that.
There used to be that.
Finance, shop, home ec.
Yeah. I had home ec and shop.
Let's go to callers. Otherwise, you know, we'll see what they think.
Right on. I agree. Everyone on here has got a short name, so I can't read your whole names here. I'll do my best. If I mention old, if I dead name you on Discord, not my bad. All right. Bring for the lies. You are live. How are you today?
Hey, guys. How are you doing today? Bring forth the lies.
Oh, okay. Pardon me.
Thank you.
So my question was directed towards Libby, because this has been something that I've heard her say on quite a few episodes now. And I really wanted to kind of ask her about this. Why are you so strongly opposed to surrogacy? There are people out there that it is the only way they can have a child. Do you think it's fair to these people to not be able to have the ability to be parents?
I don't think anyone has the right to have a child. I don't think that's if your body can do that, your body can do that, and that's amazing. If it can't, I don't know that you necessarily have the right to.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Have a biological child. I'm opposed to commercial surrogacy. I'm not opposed to altruistic surrogacy, like situations where, you know, a couple can't have a child biologically themselves. And so perhaps, you know, the sister or a friend or what have you volunteers to help that couple. I'm not opposed to a volunteer surrogacy situation, an altruistic surrogacy situation. A commercial surrogacy situation very easily can and does lead to baby factory type of arrangements, where you have a woman who is contracted to rent her body for a period of months in order to, you know, facilitate the child for someone else. Now, on the one hand, you could say that a woman has the right to sell her body, and certainly advocates for sex work would say that that is true. However, there are substantial differences to selling your body for sex, which also I'm not in favor of, and selling your body for surrogacy, which also I'm not in favor of. And there are, these are some of those circumstances. When a woman is contracted to be a surrogate, she has to already have undergone at least one pregnancy. You're not allowed to be a first-time pregnant person and be a surrogate. And the reason for that is to make sure that your body is capable of carrying a child to term. What that means, however, is that you are already a mother. So you are now in a situation where you are carrying someone else's child while you have likely another child in the home. I think that that's pretty unpleasant for that child who's already in the home to see someone who otherwise would be their sibling essentially being sold to someone else. Also, when you're a surrogate, you are taking the embryo is not your own egg. In some cases, it is your own egg, in which case you're literally selling your own child. But the embryo is not your own. So you have to take a substantial number of drugs in order to facilitate that. You have to take IVF medication to make sure that, you know, because it's IVF basically. So you have to take all the IVF drugs, which is all these heavy duty hormones. That takes a substantial period of time and is very rough on the body. You also have to take after implantation, you have to take the same drugs that a person would take after receiving an organ that's not theirs to prevent organ rejection, because your body will naturally reject the egg of another woman. So you have to take those drugs as well. That's a months long process to do that. Also, in many cases with surrogacy, you are implanted with multiples, and that's to ensure that at least one of the children survives, and it's to lower costs for the couple who is purchasing the child and renting the woman. So that's another thing. Multiple pregnancies are substantially more dangerous. So now you have a number of things that are contributing to the danger of the situation. Also, in the United States, a lot of women who undergo surrogacy and become surrogates are married. So I, you know, my personal morality, looking at a nuclear family where a woman is selling her body and you have a husband in the home, I think that would be substantially emasculating. And you have many men who have come out and spoken against that. There have been many men also who have come out and spoken against surrogacy after their wives have died in the surrogacy process.
Wow.
In and you could talk to Jennifer Lahl about this, who with the Center for Bioethics, who does really amazing work on this, and Katie Faust, who I think was on the show. Also two more things. In Eastern Europe, surrogacy is not legal, so many couples from Eastern Europe, from Western Europe, come to the United States to buy their children. And you also have a situation where, for the child's perspective, you will have, for example, if you have a couple that does not have their own eggs, they will buy an egg from one place, like Ukraine, where the phrase is that you could buy cheap white eggs. So you would buy eggs from one place, you would mix them with the sperm from somewhere else, they would be gestated in the surrogate of one country and then sold to a couple in another country. But that's an issue as well.
My follow-up, Libby, is how do you reconcile your concern for the health of the mother with the fact that women are things?
Right. I mean, the fact that women are buyable and saleable objects, of course, I forgot that part.
Right.
Clearly.
You're like, when my refrigerator breaks, I don't cry about it.
Yeah, because we've already gone through the Iranian Revolution. So we're here.
I got a question.
We're
about
here now.
If altruistic surrogacy, you stated was okay, where like someone, a loved one is willing and then you do it. And then after the baby's born, you give them a big fat tip, huge tip. Is that okay?
I don't know if that's okay. I mean, if that's prearranged, I don't think that's okay, you know? The reason that I'm opposed to commercial surrogacy is because I don't think an industry of baby making is a good thing. I don't think that is a moral good thing.
I do agree to that, Libby.
What's that?
I do agree to that. I think what would help is if you were to specify between the two.
I typically do that. Yeah, I typically do that, but it's misconstrued. Yeah.
Yeah, just because as somebody that I've been with my wife, I've known my wife since we were 10 years old. We've been together since we were 12. So we're now 38.
That's wonderful.
Congrats, bro.
A year after we got married, I was diagnosed with testicular cancer. Wow. We cannot have a child from me. She has some autoimmune diseases that make it hard for her to carry to term. She has almost died from that before.
That's terrible.
And so for us, the only option is surrogacy.
Well, there's
would
also
be her eggs.
Yeah.
And we do have one of her best friends has said, I want to do this for you. One of her best friends has 5 kids already.
Well,
says, I want to do this for you. Yeah. I've never had a complication. So I feel like differentiating between the two when you say you're against surrogacy would really be beneficial to not, like, because it is kind of...
They're hugely different things. I agree. I think that's very different. Like, the one commercial surrogacy, a lot of the issue for me is that then you have a baby making and selling industry. And I don't think we should have baby making and selling industries. But altruistic surrogacy is something that has been with us for a very long time. Even if you go back into like looking at biblical times, you know, you had Abraham and wasn't it Sarah? Abraham and Sarah. And, you know, her handmaiden was a surrogate.
This is why we named the rooster Isaac.
Oh, really?
Because his mom was Sarah.
That's really cute.
Is there another Ishmael? We gotta find an Ishmael in the crowd.
Yeah, so I mean, Isaac is over. So I do actually try and make that differentiation a lot. It's often just not made, but when I'm asked, yes, I definitely will make that distinction. Also, adoption is something that's been amazing in my family. Mother. Okay, I'm sorry, I've taken up a lot of time.
Different one. Yeah, we definitely got to move to some callers, but
that was deep because I didn't know you had a differential between commercial.
Yeah,
and
it's a big difference.
Good to know. Yeah, that was awesome. Thanks, dude.
I bring forth the lies.
Thanks. Just
thank
really
you
quick,
so
Tim.
Much.
I've heard you try to find the right word in a bunch of videos now. The plural of kibbutz is kibbutzim.
Kibbutzim, yeah.
Right, say that one more time.
Kibbutzim, yeah. Kibbutzim.
Not kibbutzim.
So kibbutz, kibbutzim. Kibbutzim.
Ah, got it.
That's the plural. I am is plural in Hebrew for any masculine word.
There you go.
Yeah. Nice.
True. Oh, I didn't know you guys in Hebrew had masculine feminine. That's interesting.
Is Elohim plural?
Feminine is A-H. Masculine as I am.
Team. Okay.
Right on. Thanks for calling in.
Cheers, brother.
Thank you.
All right. Next up.
Again, can't read the name. I'm going to go by what it says. Dancing Okapi.
I hope they ask Libby about surrogacy.
I hope not.
Yeah. You're hopefully, on the air. How are
hopefully
you?
Hopefully my question isn't as controversial, but thanks for taking my call, everyone. My question is primarily for Tim, but, you know, it's open for anyone. Why do you think Shapiro is so critical of Vivek? Like, I know that there's rumors that he or the Daily Wire are kind of in bed with the DeSantis camp, but he's made comments about Vivek changing stances and he's theatrical with no solutions. So,
well, Ben was opposed to Trump early on. They're you know, Daily Wire guys are more mainstream conservative. I wouldn't call necessarily neocon or anything like that, but close in some respects in some of their positions. So for Ben and for many of the guys at Daily Wire, yeah, Ron DeSantis is your guy, and Vivek is more Trumpian. So if you're concerned about this populist upstart, you know, kind of Trumpian stuff and MAGA, Vivek is very much in line with it. But Ben and everyone else got behind Trump because he was the Republican candidate. He became, he was the nominee who won. He became president. And then they basically said, okay, it's this or nothing. So that's what they went for. Now, given the option, I'm not surprised they're going for Ron DeSantis, despite the obvious shortcomings of the DeSantis campaign and the failures that come along with wearing 3-inch lifts in your cowboy boots.
Yeah.
So what... The specific claim that Vivek doesn't have any real solutions, I've heard him in long form podcasts and he seems to lay it out. Do you think it's just him kind of shilling for DeSantis, or do you think he just hasn't sat down to listen to Vivek speak about what he actually wants to enact?
Well, I mean, it's Ben's opinion. If he thinks the things that Vivek have said are not real solutions, then it's his opinion to say he has no solutions. I have no problem with that. It'd be a great conversation. In fact, I think if like you were to ask Ben this question, he'd give you a very well thought out answer as to what his point was. I Ben's a smart guy and he's an excellent master debater. So, you know.
Yeah. One of the masteriest.
Yeah. I disagree with Ben, but I know that every time I've interacted with him, if you're like, hey, how come this, Ben? he'll break it down for you. That's what he's famous for doing. You know, so if he's speaking on his show, I think it's fair to be like, I don't understand what he's saying. Vivek has laid these things out. He should answer the questions, but does he do call-ins? I don't know.
Oh, Ben?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know that if you went to like one of his speaking events and at the Q&A asked him exactly this, he'd give you a logical breakdown of what he means and you'd understand. Ben's the facts don't care about your feelings guy, with all due respect, unless it comes to Israel. But I'm pretty sure he can give you a very simple, logical answer. I think he's wrong. That's fine. You know, I think Vivek's answers are the best. I think he demolishes the debates. I think there are some high profile personalities who are probably on the payroll. I don't think the Daily Wire is, but I do think the Daily Wire did market their member list. If I could be wrong about that. Is that true?
I don't know.
I thought I heard something about the Daily Wire sells their email list as an advertising option.
A lot of people do. A lot of people sell.
Well, it's totally normal.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they may have done that with DeSantis' campaign, I think. Interesting. And they got accused of like being paid by the DeSantis campaign. And then Jeremy Boring was like, we offer up our subscriber, like our advertising list to all sorts of companies. That's quite literally a sponsorship thing. And so like when you sign up for their email list, like I agree to receive promotions and stuff. That's the point. I think that's all they did. I don't think that's why they would shill for DeSantis. I think they genuinely think DeSantis is better. Like I've talked to him about it. They really do like the guy. Hmm. I like DeSantis too. It's just his campaign is fucking apocalyptic.
His campaign is really a disaster. I like Vivek also. Every debate, I think he's been really strong. Oh, dude.
Yeah, he's a
if Ron fired his campaign staff just and brought on people who are also not that good, I'd be forgiving. I'd be like, nah, that's good. You got to do what you got to do. But the fact that he keeps these people on is just...
He keeps them on, and then they start going after everybody on Twitter.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And you're just like, why are you wasting your time on this? This is not helping anybody.
We've had people on this show who are not in the Trump versus DeSantis space. I don't want to say who they are. Conservative-leaning people who don't get involved in that, and they say, look, man, all I care about is, you know, pushing back on the wokeness and stuff like this, and they're getting attacked by DeSantis people. Mm-hmm. It's just so weird. But anyway, I hope that answers your question to the best of my ability.
Anything else to add?
No, that's everything. Thanks. Have a good night, everyone.
Of course. Cheers. Thank you.
Thanks for calling in.
All right.
By the way, I love how all of Trump's former people now totally diss him. Mike Pompeo, John Bolton, Nikki Haley, they all say he's unfit for office, and that's because he appointed a bunch of neocons who wanted to undermine everything he ran on.
Yeah, I don't really care too much what Nikki Haley has to say about Trump, to be honest. Let's see. Not Heisenberg. Huh, that's a funny one. How are you?
Yes, I'm good. Right? Thank you for coming on Tincast, Aaron. Really appreciate it, and for taking my question. Until recently, I was an avid watcher of Useful Idiots. I recognize the Israeli-Palestine questions have already been addressed a few times. I noticed that you're very critical of Israel and all of your work. What do you feel like is a realistic solution to the current crisis for long-term peace and a resolution to the 75-year-long conflict?
I talked about it earlier on the show, but just to briefly summarize, to me, ideally, if I could design the perfect solution in an ideal world, it would be equality for everybody. And Palestinians who were kicked out of their homes in 1948 either get the right of return or get compensated for it. But that's not going to happen because Israel has nuclear weapons. It's not going to give up its claim to be a Jewish state. It just won't. So I think the best solution is removing all the West Bank settlements, move everyone who's in these settlements into Israel proper, and the occupation of the West Bank and Gaza, and compensate all these Palestinian refugees and their families and their descendants for the homes that were lost. And that's the best. That's the solution that most of the world supports. The only people who are the main opponents of it are the U.S. and Israel. And if that were to change, I think it can make a huge difference.
I mean, I don't know where the money's going to come from in this situation. Do you have an idea where that would come from?
Well, we spend so much money on arming Israel, and
that's true.
There's so much money put into maintaining the occupation.
Right. So do we divert from current spending towards that?
Yeah.
Which I agree with.
Well, it's not really about money. Money's not going to get houses built. You actually
need
materials.
Do you
want the U.S. to pay for it? Is that what you're saying, Aaron?
How do we have a situation where these people can live next to each other? Because like the Gazans and the West Bankans, the Palestinians, they're all brainwashed to hate Israel, to martyr, to destroy Israel. They want everything. They want the entire land, right? How do you realistically create a state in which your neighbors want to kill you?
You know, plenty of states have lived next to each other that have previously been in total states of war, have gone on to peace. I mean, look at Europe.
Like right France now. And England.
There's
Ireland and England. Sure, oh, boy. Yeah,
there's peace there now. So it's... But you have to establish, to have peace, you have to have a baseline of respect for everybody. And right now, there's no respect for Palestinian rights. There isn't. That's the situation. There's an occupation. In the West Bank, to be a Palestinian, it's horrible. But it's so horrible for Gaza right now that the West Bank is even being ignored. So the first thing you would do is address the occupation. From that, you never know what could happen from that.
I got an idea.
Common language.
I got a really good idea.
Uh-huh.
Hamas should open a casino. In Gaza. And then all the people in Israel are going to be like, dude, let's go to Gaza. And well, then the
there
Gaza
was talk
strip.
Of that. They tried that in the 90s. There was talk of that. I think there even was a casino in the West Bank.
Really?
Yeah, there was. But again, the problem there was Israel refused to give up its settlement building. So even in the 90s, when you had this year of the so-called peace process, the settlement population doubled. And Israel didn't dismantle its settlements. It kept building them up. Because they were never actually interested in making peace on serious terms. So once you reverse that, you could open up the possibility for peace. I'm not saying it's easy, but anything is better than the current approach of the last 75 years.
You get a casino built.
But don't you feel like there's like nobody at all that is motivated for peace, right? Like all of the Arab states and Persian, you know, Iran next door, nobody wants peace.
Listen,
you
know, honestly, listen, listen,
it's
listen.
It's not in Israel's interest. It's not in the Palestinians'
listen,
interest.
No, no.
It's not in
listen, Google, the rest of the Google, interest. Google Arab Peace Initiative 2002, okay? In 2002, Saudi Arabia put out a proposal. It's called the Arab Peace Initiative, offering Israel full relations with all the Arab states in return for Israel withdrawing from the West Bank and Gaza and allowing the creation of a Palestinian state there and finding a just resolution to the refugee issue. It didn't say let everybody back. It said find a just resolution. Israel rejected that. Hamas at one point even accepted it. Now, Hamas didn't say we'll recognize Israel, but Hamas said we'll accept a state within the 67 borders, which means the West Bank and Gaza. Iran said they would respect it even in 2017. You can look that up. It's Israel as a colonial power that won't give up its desire to control all that land. That's the problem here.
You also know that the same thing has happened on the other side, that Arafat rejected the Camp David Accords.
Do you know who else rejected the Camp David Accords? Look this up. Shlomo Ben Ami. He was the foreign minister of Israel at Camp David. He was on the negotiating team. And he said during an interview that I was there for, it was when I was working for Democracy Now!, he said, if I were a Palestinian, I would have rejected Camp David as well. And I understand why you think that Arafat rejected this generous deal, but that's because we've been lied to. Clinton lied. All these people have lied. The offer at Camp David would have kept the major West Bank settlement blocks. It would have cut off Palestinians from Jerusalem. They wouldn't even have control over East Jerusalem. They would have control over an adjacent suburb that they could rename East Jerusalem if they wanted to. That offer was a joke. And it's been the only reason we don't know otherwise is because we've been lied to so many times. And that lie is used to justify Israeli expansionism.
Yeah, my problem is I think you feel like it's just one side. It's both sides that are lying.
I do feel it's one side because one side is occupying the other. And that doesn't mean I endorse the tactics that Hamas undertakes. And purely from a Palestinian point of view, in terms of what's best for their liberation, I think Hamas really set them back.
Were
horribly.
You in favor of Germany reclaiming the lands that were lost after the end of World War I?
The Rhineland?
You know, I'm not familiar with that history.
Basically what starts World War II is Hitler saying, like, these are the lands Germany lost after...
Sudetenland as well.
Yeah, the Sudetenland.
Mm-hmm. The whole thing.
So...
Okay, no, I do not support that, no.
Why not?
Yeah, what do you mean? Those were ethnic Germans
that
who were being oppressed
German
by
land.
Other countries.
Okay.
So after World War I, Germany gets put into massive debt in these treaties, particularly with France, and that stripped a bunch of their land away, which was ethnically German, given other countries, and these people were being oppressed.
They spoke German.
Then they spoke German. So Hitler said... I'm taking this back. It's our land.
And, okay, but Hitler's goal was not just to take back some disputed land. He wanted
you think
to
the goal of
he
the...
wanted to exterminate all the Jews in the world, along with gypsies and everyone else. And he also wanted to go way further than that. He wanted to basically dominate the planet. So, and I don't think you can say the same thing about Hamas. Hamas is trying to liberate their own territory, which was taken from them.
And no, I mean, they tried to destroy Israel, right?
Well, that's in their charter, yes, and that's what they say. It's true, but they actually changed their charter in 2017.
Yeah,
and
there was a period. I'm not gonna believe them. Like,
fair enough. But there was a period when they said we'd accept a state in the 67 borders, and maybe they were lying the whole time. Maybe
in 2017, right, but, they took out the reference to the Elders of Zion.
Yeah. Okay. And so one option. Look, there are plenty of people who said we should engage with Hamas and see what they and see. Like, for example, the former head of Mossad said we should engage with Hamas. He wrote an article about this in the Washington Post. There was a plenty of talk about that. It was Israel who insisted on sticking to this extremist position that, no, all this land is ours. And as long as you have that position, you're always going to have people trying to resist you. So if you don't like what Hamas does, take away the reason why they're launching all these military actions and your occupation. Give them at least some of their land back. Not all of it. That's not possible anymore, I realize. But at least start with the position of letting Palestinians have a state in 22% of their land, which is for them is a huge compromise already.
All right.
Yeah, well, I have a solution, but...
well, listen to your quick solution here. I just want to make sure we keep the show on the road here.
So my solution is that Egypt should take over Gaza and that Jordan should take over the West Bank. And we need Israel to negotiate with nation states and with people that are ruled by terrorist organizations. That's it.
That's actually quite a good solution.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
They're just going to give away their land to other
countries. Well, actually, both of these territories were controlled by, was it Transjordan at the time that controlled the West Bank?
Yes, and then they were taken over in the war in 67, I think.
Yeah, man. Well, appreciate it. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, dude.
Thank you.
Cheers, man.
So are you familiar with the,
I looked up
was
the
it Havara? Havara agreement?
No.
Nazi Germany and German Jews agreed that Germany would allow them to leave and go to Palestine. I just looked it up. I don't know anything about it.
I don't know about that. I do know there was some degree. I mean, there. You know, I haven't looked into this, but there.
There was
talk of some Zionist collusion with Nazis, which I've heard about. But
yeah, the Nazis wanted the Jews out of the country.
I don't know if it was collusion, more so that Jews who were being persecuted were like, please just let us leave. We'll go here instead. And they were like, get the fuck out.
It was 1933.
But I also know that the U.S. really did not want Jews to come here. And
yeah, nobody wanted them.
And Jewish groups here work very hard to keep out Jewish refugees from the U.S. so they can all go to Palestine.
Let's grab that last caller there.
Let's do indeed. Shadowbox Design, you are back with us. How's it going, bro?
It's going good. Do you guys okay if I just share my own personal experience with homeschooling just real quick since I've been homeschooled my whole life?
Would love to hear it.
Okay. So I'm 21. I've started two businesses. I've had a couple successful clothing drops on one business. I've made thousands with my art business. My brothers are both successful. One is a single income house raising a daughter with his wife. One's a salaried manager at a major retail company. I know plenty of people who have had great experiences with homeschooling. I've also seen the bad side. And honestly, I do think that there's more good than harm. And I think that in public schooling, it's more harm than good. So I'm not here to offer a solution for that. I just want to put it out there that I think that homeschooling will set more people up for success. But in public school, the people who succeed out of that are typically the ones that have to break away from their education. Rather than with homeschooling, the people who succeed are successful because of their education.
That proves it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not here to say, you know, the guest is 100% wrong. I respect your opinion, but I am just going to say, you know, I have not seen a single person who is homeschooled. Even the one person I know who is homeschooled in a poor way, his mother didn't really teach him much. He still ended up going on and starting his own business and getting a GED so that way he could have some sort of diploma and went on and, you know, he raises his kids now, like with his wife. So,
yeah. Right on.
I think it's a lot of that self-sufficiency that you're talking about.
Well, that's really great. Well, thanks for calling in, and we'll see how that goes.
I was like, wait a minute. I'm going to ask my question now. So question for the panel. With the dramatic shifts happening in the political landscape in this last year and the decline of Joe Biden's front-runner status in the Democratic Party, how much time do you believe the Democrats truly have before it's too late to build up a new candidate?
2 months. No, actually more than that. 4 months.
No, 2 months, because March is when the
Super
primary.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
They got the media that's going to be 24/7 Gavin Newsom's hair gel, but it's 2 months.
No. Maybe they want to wait till the very last minute for some like Joe Biden collapses thing, because then there's no time for opposition research and an attack on Gavin Newsom.
Yeah, they don't need to have anybody in a primary. The Democrats don't need to primary anybody.
An evil cabal. You know?
They can select
they
with super
just,
delegates.
They
could
just
want.
Pick who they want at their convention in the summer.
Yep.
And they could just go for it like that and then just push them onto the ballot.
It'd be funny if like Obama just shows up and they're like, but you can't be president. You were president twice. Huh, go ahead and stop me. And then he just runs anyway. And then everyone's like, what do we do? And it's like, I guess.
That
and then no one does anything to stop
coup.
Him.
That would be horrible.
Think about this. The only here's going to help everybody. Understanding that human rules mean fuck all. And that's exemplified every day by what Democrats are doing with Donald Trump in court and Russiagate. The rules that we put in place are just fancy things that we think we should do. The only things that really matter, natural laws. Now, we want to function in a cohesive society, but the fact remains that if Barack Obama ran for president and then the media said that he was president, no one would do shit. No court would touch it, even though he was in violation of the what is the rule? It's an amendment, right?
I don't know.
One of the amendments.
The emoluments clause?
The two terms.
Oh, the two. Okay.
Oh, that was after FDR they came up
right.
with
after
that.
Right,
after four terms. Yeah.
I forgot what number it was.
4 terms. I don't remember the thing is, but that's how many
But my point is, when you have Texas v. Pennsylvania, and the Supreme Court says, fuck us, we're not going anywhere near that.
That was nuts. The Supreme Court really should have taken that up.
I know. It's the fact that they didn't is proof to what I'm saying. If the media said Obama was president, he'd be president.
Well, it's not proof.
Well,
that happened.
Remember,
that would be very dangerous.
My point
is
proof
term
that,
limits
that
in New York,
the system,
still
you would not
terms.
Get Democrats rejecting it. Right, right.
Lemmings
they just did
made,
it anyway. Christine exactly. Quinn ruined her entire political career. She could have been mayor.
But people have a duty to respond through force if their livelihoods are threatened. I mean, we're supposed to defend our Constitution through blood and sweat, like literally. So if someone tried to come in and be like, your Constitution
seconds.
Doesn't matter anything, Americans, bow down. Like, no, it's our job to stand up.
22nd Amendment limits terms.
Huh. Well.
But yeah, so I think it's possible that... they do the swaparoonie right before October.
Dude, I fear.
I think they'd actually call it swaparoonie. And yeah, I think they could get some good marketing off that. There'd be like some dog treats. They'd call you called swaparoonies.
The old switcheroo.
Right, yeah, the switcheroo, the swaparoonie. I, you know,
Gavin Newsom doubly-do.
It may be. Here's what happens. Here's how you get rid of Kamala Harris. In August, Joe Biden has a heart attack on stage and collapses. Gavin Newsom runs out, saves him. Kamala Harris then steps in as acting president to fulfill the duties as VP, but says, listen, there's no way I can mount a campaign in 3 months. Now Gavin's been on it already. And that's how you get Gavin Newsom.
She'd come up with a Venn diagram.
Your Kamala impression probably pisses me off.
She's the worst.
She's so dumb.
Yeah.
But yeah, so last minute Biden heart attack or something.
Mm-hmm.
Kamala says, realistically, there's no way I can mount a campaign right now, and I don't want to lose to Trump. I think Gavin is going to have to step up while I feel I will not abandon this country to run a presidential campaign 3 months out. That's insane. I'm going to do my duty to this country as the first female president, and Gavin Newsom, you should vote for him.
But don't you think that her ambition would get in the way of that, and she would do it anyway?
Nope.
She would like go for it.
I do not.
You don't think so?
Nope. I think her ambition is to be on the knees for whoever's in charge.
Interesting.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, I get that vibe with her, too.
I would kind of agree with that.
You know, this whole Biden meeting with President Xi is very weird, because I feel like he's like, not to be outdone by Gavin Newsom meeting with Xi. I have to show something, some prowess.
I don't know why he would do that. And just
he wants
trying
to be
like,
president. Legitimately.
Well, yeah, I guess.
Or we got to... We gotta
solidify his California name. Yeah,
we gotta wind things down. We're a little over.
We are.
So
it was a great show.
You guys get if I just say a few things real
do
quick.
Do it.
All right. So first off, shout out to myself. I want to say anybody out there who needs a logo design, branding package, anything, hit me up on Instagram, on Discord. I've got plenty of people from the Discord who've already hit me up. I've helped them out, helped them start businesses. It's been great. So DM me here on Instagram for that. And I wanted to shout out one of my buddies. I'm calling on all the TimCast folks. We need to get this guy to 1,000 followers on Instagram, and I really want you guys to take some of his courses. So if you are in the Southern Indiana, Northern Kentucky, or Western Ohio, he does rifle and night vision classes where you can come out and use the night vision that they have there, and you can bring your own rifle. They're great classes. His Instagram is Endless Search Dev Group. I say that again, it's Endless Search Dev Group. He is like ultimate shadow banned, so unless you type it in perfectly, it doesn't come up. Yeah. So, you know, just shout out to him. He's a great guy, you know, great family man. I just want him to, you know, feel the love of all you guys. And as always, Ian, I love you.
Yeah, I love you too, man. And I want to shout the name of your Instagram channel out. It's Shadowbox Design.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, shadow.box.design. Yep.
Right on, man. Thanks for calling in.
Yep.
And the last thing is I will read this joke from Bert, who says, what's the difference between Iron Man and Iron Woman? One is a superhero and one is a command.
Oh, my goodness.
Got him, dude. That's a good one. That was a ripper, good one, dog.
The command. Aaron, thanks for hanging out, man. It's been a blast.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Even though you got kicked off the train, you made it. So yeah, that was fun.
It was well worth it.
Yeah, right on. And for everybody who's a member, you guys rock. Watch Infringed if you haven't already. Join the Discord server and hang out. Awesome stuff currently in the works. Ian's working on our card game.
Yeah, I was going to talk to you about that. Maybe a little bit after the show.
Let's do it. All right, everybody. We got a card game coming really, really soon. And we're excited. So we'll see y'all tomorrow.
Deuces, guys.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.